So we must change with change. Hallelujah. And I shared with you last time that a key to successful leadership is continuous personal change. Why? Because personal change is a reflection of our inner growth and improvement. See, when you see people still whining and bellyaching all the time, see, you know, they got some growing to do. You look at it like they just got some growing to do. Amen? Because it's not supposed to be that way continuously. And you've been in the kingdom 20 years. Something should change about your life. Amen. What was the point of getting born again if nothing changes? All right. Then we shared with you on last Sunday how that planning like God is the highest expression of divine nature. We are acting most like God, our Father God, when we are planning and creating. And that's something the Lord had, he taught me that. He says, I'm so happy when you are planning and creating. So that means you are involved. Okay. Being creative is part of our DNA as believers. This is why we can have other issues. Because we are not creating. We should always have a project that we are working on for the kingdom. Our creativity should never die. The Bible says the young men will dream dreams and the old men will have what? Visions. So that means you're not just because you're getting up in age, that means you're supposed to stop having a vision. No, you're supposed to be having a vision for the rest of your life. Oh, Jesus, because God is very, very, say very, please, when we initiate change. This is why I believe, now you can disagree if you like, but based on my years of pastoring and being around people, people who have no plans for their lives are usually busybodies, have low self-esteem, and make it real easy for them to blame others as to why their lives is the way it is. Because they made no plans to live. But they're ready to blame you, me, the church, God, anybody, Social Security, anybody. They're going to blame somebody for how their life turned out when there's a lack of planning. And they always have drama in their life. They come out of one drama act and they go right into another drama act because that's the way they don't know how to initiate change yet. So instead of living from one level of faith to another, they live from one drama to another drama because that's how their life functions. And without somebody bringing drama to them, they don't have a life. Because somebody else is orchestrating it. Because if you don't plan your life right, someone else will plan it for you. I'm just trying to recap a few things. Listen, we have the power, say the power, given to us by God according to Genesis 1:26. Look at it real quick. Just to make sure that you can see it for yourself. Genesis 1, verse 26. Read it out loud. What does it say? And God said, talk loud, y'all. Okay, so God gave us power. Or ability or authority to design, to create our own lives. And the Bible, I heard a song some time ago say, I'm a designer's original. So if God designed us to design, then there's nobody that can design your life like you. You should be one of a kind. Ooh, man, I like that. Can't nobody be me. and I can't be you. Oh, Jesus. So we determine how well and how long we live, and not God. Because we're designing our lives, not God. See, we got to take, see, when we say, oh, I'm going to let God do it. No, that's your way of pushing the blame on God when it doesn't turn out right. Uh-oh, we're going to mess with somebody. Look at Proverbs 18, look at verse 21. When you have it, say, I have it. Proverbs 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power or the authority of your tongue. And they that love it will eat the fruit thereof. So now you're choosing. So in other words, it says, my life, death and life is in how I talk. I'm designing my life with my words. This is why we should be careful what we say. Why? Because our life is going to bear out our words. It's going to develop our words. You make me sick. You need to stop saying that one. And then when you get sick, you say, I don't know how I got sick. You spoke it into existence. Because so you now you blaming the other person. Because you said they may know your words made you sick. You announced that on yourself. Uh-oh. Say, uh-oh. Look at your neighbor and say, uh-oh. This is just a sample. So whatever words we indulge in our lives, that's what we're going to get the fruit from. And you need to know that because you are designing your own life. What you involve your mouth in is shaping your future. Because your mouth has everything to do with your future. What are you saying about your future? Those online, those listening by the radio, what are you saying about your future today? Because what you're saying today is going to be the catalyst for tomorrow. You are planning your future with the words you speak today. So how we think and talk does matter. Why? Because words, say words, are for creating and planning. Words are for creating and planning, not so we can have an exercise in futility. In other words, what do I mean when I say futility? Where you talk without producing any valuable effect. You say words that's never gonna produce something that you think you deserve. So you are saying words contrary to what you're secretly wanting. You wanna be rich, but you're too chicken to say you're rich. You won't say that out of your mouth. You will agree with the world system and say, oh, I'm just making it. I'm just a poor person trying to do the best I can. Oh, don't come to me. You're going to get offended. Because I do not agree with that one. And I'm not going to let you contaminate my environment. Take that trash and go somewhere else. Why? Because you are shaping your poverty. And then you wonder why you can't get out of the hole. You spoke it. Because you won't say what the word says about you. That requires changing. In order to agree with the word, something in your life has to change to comply with that word. That means you might have to start tithing and giving regularly, every time. Where you just been doing it whenever. Okay. But you are shaping your future because you are your designer. Ooh, Jesus, hallelujah. So words are for creating and planning, not so we can have an exercise in futility where we just speak something just because it's popular. But it's not now. And I say unto you, Matthew 12:36, I'm a read it to you. And I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they should give an account thereof in the day of judgment. So your words going to come back and say something about you. Because you're going to be judged for what you created. You can't create without words. You can't think it in. You got to say it. Whew, Jesus. You got to say what you want. And if you can't say it every day, if you're not willing to say it, you'll never have it. And most believers can't do an affirmation 30 straight days. And they want to know why they don't get results. You can't talk straight for 30 straight days. See, this is why writing is good. The Bible told us to put the vision on paper. Write it down. Why? And I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to get ahead of my lesson. Calm down, girl. Calm down. Ooh, I feel you. Idle words are words without purpose. They really don't have a target. And they bring no value to your life. That's what an idle word is. These words don't bring you out of your circumstance, which means your words are not effecting, E-F-F-E-C-T-I-N-G. They are not bringing any kind of result that's worth anything to you. But they are affecting, A-F-F-E-C-T-I-N-G. They are affecting your environment. They are impacting your environment to stay the same. Because that's your way of designing. And I said in a previous lesson, the two most consistent things are what? Time and change. You can count on them. Time and change. And the only way to impact time and change is what? Through planning. I'm going to keep saying this throughout all of the lessons. So to get God involved in your financial deliverance, there must be a plan that you are willing to advance the kingdom, say the kingdom, with what you have right now. Ah, this is where the rubber meets the road. We want to wait. We're waiting for something bigger to come. We're waiting on our shipment before we do anything. And God said, that's not planning. That's wishing. Because I can plan with what I got right now. Oh, Jesus. See, God said they're going to initiate it. I'm going to go ahead and help that person. And the ship might come in a lot faster if you initiate something. He says God is looking for a plan. How do you plan on advancing the kingdom with what you already have? If we would take what we have right now and plan ministry in it, money coming to us now. Money will have a purpose. And it will find you. You don't have to chase the money down. It will find you because you gave it purpose. So you're creating your own life. Where you are today is where you chose to be. How you are living today is how you created your life. You chose to be there. And the longer you choose to stay there, the longer you will stay there. And that's not God's plan. That's your plan. You can plan to pay for someone else's groceries. You know, get up and do something. Find something to do in the kingdom. You know, Pastor, do you know how high food is? They're talking about chicken going up to $25 a chicken. This is what I know. Say, this is what Pastor Diana know. I have a God who is the unfailing, unlimited supplier of my resources. of my supply. I know that he has opened unto me his good treasures and blessed the work of my hands. He has already empowered me to prosper. I don't care how tight it gets out there. There's a plan inside of me that will cause me to prosper. Because I refuse to be defeated. So we must show God why we need a lot of money. Not just ask for it. We must show him. Show me your blueprints. What you need a lot of money for. See, what you need money for and what God needs you to have money for may not match yet. Now, right here, I'm going to share because I couldn't get to it last Sunday. But this is the second phase of Rapture Worship Center. It's called Jireh Outreach. This is the written plan that Dr. Davis left this church. And it's got to come to pass. He talked about how to manage stuff, talked about wealth management. He gave us a mission statement. The mission statement says Jireh Outreach will provide spiritual, physical, financial, and educational support to people in need locally as well as around the world through continued expansion of local and international outreach programs and missions. Jireh Outreach will promote the furthering of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the development of underprivileged communities. See, we got to impact the communities. That's why we need money. We got to impact communities. Not just go get your bills paid off. That's going to happen. But good gracious, do you have anything beyond you? The vision statement says, our vision has several phases that are designed, there's that word, to improve the spiritual, mental, moral, physical, and financial position of the church as well as the general public. This conglomerate called Jireh Outreach will be recognized as a premier contributor to the advancement of social outreach programs and ministries that lead the way in bringing wholeness to broken individual lives and communities worldwide. Then he talked about humanitarian and charitable giving and wounded warriors, different programs that we're going to connect ourselves to, including the wounded warriors. We're going to start a train the unwed mothers through mentoring. We're going to start assisting the widows and seniors in their daily living. We got a substance abuse rehabilitation program in here. We got established reading, comprehension, and writing workshops for underprivileged children. See, it's written down. The Bible says you should have a plan that when you go off the scene, somebody can pick it up and run with it. Because your vision shouldn't die because you leave the earth. Ooh, Jesus. It's called a legacy. And too long, the body of Christ have not had vision that not only will impact their family, but won't do anything for the community. We live for ourselves alone. And that's why we continue to struggle, because we don't have no plan to advance the kingdom. We got a plan for us. And once we get our bills paid, then we're going to go into our luxury mode. We're going to spend the rest of it on something we like. And you still haven't dialed in anything for God yet. You haven't made one plan to go do any ministry. If you took $100 a month and stood in the grocery store, somebody need help. You can start where you are. All right. A good plan is like a roadmap. It shows the final destination and the best way to get there. Example, this was funny when the Lord gave it to me, but it's just the way he talks to me. I want to go to Florida. Okay, based on what I just said, what two things do we already know? There were two things when I said I want to go to Florida. What two things do we know? That I want, my destination is what? Florida. And guess what? I must leave Virginia to get there. We already know those two things. I can't stay in Virginia and get to Florida. You got to leave one location to get to the new one. Right? So that's two things we already know about this. So now I meet you, who is an expert, say an expert, in traveling. We talk for a few minutes, And then I ask you if you will drive me to Florida. And you say, sure. Then you say, oh, by the way, we're going to travel through some rough neighborhoods, and sometimes the road may seem like it would never end. We will only stop at designated stops to refuel. So in other words, you ain't going to be stopping when you feel like stopping. You're not supposed to do that. Okay. But don't fear. I know the way. I know how to get you to Florida. If you will listen to me and follow my instructions, I promise you that you will not only reach Florida, but you will get there on schedule with nothing missing and nothing broken. Also in the process, you will gain knowledge about the road. It's just not a ride for you to sit there and watch the scenery. You're supposed to learn on your journey. So I agree and sign up for the journey. But then as we start traveling, we get to a certain point, I see this sign that says, this way to Florida. But the driver ignores the sign and keeps on driving. All the while, now fear and doubt is building in me. And I am starting to not trust the driver's ability to get me to Florida. This is the way believers do. See, before I started the journey, I had an idea, say an idea, of how to get to Florida, although I had never been there. You got a plan, but God orders the steps. Mm-hmm. So I kept looking for familiar landmarks that others said I should see. I looked for Disney World. I looked for famous resorts. I looked up for even President Trump's home. I ain't seen none of that stuff. So their fear is taking me over. I am afraid, afraid, that I'm going to end up somewhere I don't want to be. This is why most Christians stop. Finally, I yelled to the driver, let me off this bus. Screech! The bus stops. I run off the bus. And of course, how convenient, there's another bus coming. But it's going the opposite direction. It's got a sign on it saying, going to Virginia. But I jump on the bus anyway. Now, this bus is going to take me right back where I started. But at least I'm in familiar territory. Therefore, I never reached what I said I really wanted. I never got to Florida, where all the sunshine and financial wealth is. So listen, if I had stayed on the bus, the first bus, and trusted the driver, I would have learned that the place where I jumped off the bus was only 25 miles away from Florida. We'd be so close, and we give up. So what was wrong here? I failed to plan for the changes that would occur on the journey, even though I was told in advance that changes were going to take place. I didn't plan for it. All I heard was, I'm going to Florida. And this is where most Christians get hung up. They hear the ending and get excited. Money coming to me. And they don't plan to do nothing in between but say, money's coming to me. Ooh, Jesus. And that statement alone, as prophetic as it is, it cannot get you out the hole if you're not working with a plan to help you get out the hole. That means you got to stop doing some stuff. You need to come off that living off your credit cards. You got to break that tie to the world some kind of way. And you got to be willing to make the sacrifice to get to the end result. You got to show God, I'm ready to come out of the hole. I don't care what it takes for me to come out the hole. I'll stop spending on this credit card. You are my source, not this credit card. And when you look at what you've been, I tallied it up. And I said, if you're paying $5 for a loaf of bread, at 26%, you're paying $1.30 extra for bread that probably cost them 75 cents. And by the time you get it, most time it's already a day or two days old. See, we hold up our lives, not God, because we are designing our lives. So I failed to plan for the changes that would occur on the journey, even though I had been told in advance. When we want to do something, make sure you are not just listening for the end. The Bible talks about what man goes to war and does not sit down and count up the cost first before he go to war. I failed to write my vision or my plans down so that when the journey took me through unfamiliar territory, I could look at my plans and see myself already in Florida instead of seeing myself lost. And then turn back like the Israelites. They wanted to go back into Egypt. After being in bondage for 400 years, the Lord sent a deliverer, get them out. And what they do, they bellyache the whole time. That's why they had to die in the wilderness. They could not go into the promised land. Not because God didn't want them to go, but because of their unbelief. It wasn't because they didn't know better. They wouldn't do better. Some of you living in unbelief. Not because you don't know the truth, you just refuse to do it. That's unbelief. That's not ignorance. That's unbelief. I'm just not going to do it because I don't believe it for me. It's all right for you, Pastor Diana, but I don't believe that for me. Now, that might work in your house, but it don't work in my house because, you know, in my house, we don't live like that. Why you don't? If the Bible worked for me, it'll work for you. You're in control of that in your house. Turn to Proverbs 29:18. And while you turn there, I'm going to read my next statement. Your imagination will activate the miraculous power of God to energize your faith. See, this is why you got to have a plan, because your plan keeps... help your imagination to boost your faith. Your imagination works with your faith. Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, the people do what? But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. So in other words, where there is no clear prophetic vision, where people can look at it and say, this is what we're working on. This is why parents... listen to me. You got small kids. You got a chance. If your children are teenagers, you need to ask God to give you something you can leave for your children to work with you. Because what you're doing, you're taking all your skill and you're building somebody else's empire. But you're leaving nothing for your family. And it's a crime against your children that you're not building something. I don't care if you got a third grade education. There's a plan in you that will bring prosperity. Stop making education an excuse. Learn what you need to learn. If you got to burn the midnight oil, get up and learn something. Get up and do something different. And stop crying about your condition when you're not ready to change to make a difference. Somebody got to get up and burn the midnight oil. And you wives, you better learn how to pray again and come in agreement with your husbands. I'm telling you, because your children are at stake. And if you don't care nothing about your kids, I understand why y'all do what you do. You just got them in the house because you had them. And anytime you get a break, you take a break. You send them to Aunt Sally, Aunt Mary, anybody that take them off your hands. Because you need your personal time. You need to pray, your silly self. You ain't got time for no break when you got kids. Y'all stay on vacation as it is. Your mind already blank. Because you're not hearing what is important to God. Children is the heritage of God, and they are important to God, because who gonna carry the gospel when you leave the scene and your child don't know nothing about the word of God? You have lived nothing. You left them no legacy. You give them a hard way. They go up. That's why they go to hell before they come to church, because most parents don't leave them anything, not even faith. Your whole life been just grumbling, 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 struggling, struggling, struggling. But you designed that life. You don't have a right to come back and complain. You fix your life the way it is. I'm letting you see how ugly it is. You fix your life the way it is. Did nobody put you there? And if you grew up in the hood, you can get out. I grew up in the hood. I grew up around 2-3 gangs living in our neighborhood. Don't tell me that one. You can get out of the hood when you want to get out. But it means change. It means you're going to take some persecution, because people are going to think you're trying to be uppity. Yeah, I'm trying to be uppity. I'm upward. I'm trying to get out of the hood. I don't want to live like that anymore. My daddy say I'm rich, then I'm going to live like that. I don't care what nobody thinks. And where I am now is just a seed. See, I'm telling y'all, this reality got to come back, because we've been wishing for stuff but not planning. Proverbs 21, verse 15. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. In other words, if you hasty in how you live, you're living from moment to moment. That's called hasty living. That means it tends to financial loss. You're going to go into poverty living like that. I know some people never make groceries. They go buy stuff every day or every other day. Man, that's nonsense. Make a grocery list. First of all, you're wasting gas, time, and energy. Well, you can take one day and go make groceries. Oh, used to irk me to no end when I saw people doing that, especially people I knew. I'm going like, oh, Jesus. And then they won't gonna drive but so much themselves. And then, you know, coming up, you can't say but so much to grown people. You can't say but so much, because mama would slap us in the mouth. But they always want that. That's the one that needed to ride. And they call you at the last minute. And then they got 99 coupons. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. And you got to go. Back then was a B-Low. You got to go to B-Low. Then you got to go to this supermarket. By the time you get through, you wasted a whole day on nothing but stuff that should have been playing differently. Going to 5-6 different stores to save $2, but it cost you $3 to get there in gas. Where you can live above that and just go pay whatever's on the package. And go home. Good gracious. I had a life of coupons. That's why I can talk about it. And I hated it. Ooh, when I got off that system, you talking about a habit. I don't even take newspapers for that reason. I'm going like, don't come in my house. I haven't had a newspaper in my house in years. You bring me enough news. I don't need the newspaper. Anybody that died, they'll call me. All the family to call me and say, who died? See, I don't need a newspaper to tell me that stuff. That's why you got relatives. Now, that's just a little humor, y'all. Don't get offended. Those listening, don't get offended. Because I know how some of y'all are. But Proverbs 21 said, if you attend to what is good, you're going to have plenty. Mm-hmm. Now look at John 16, verse 33. See, this is what happened in the scenario that the Lord showed me. He says, these things have I spoken unto you. See, in that little scenario, The truth was said. It was told me in advance that we were going to go through rough neighborhoods. The roads looked like it was going to be long and there'd be no end to it. But I just bypassed all of that and didn't plan for that part. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've already overcome the world. Hallelujah. See, he said, and the world here is not talking about the earth. It's talking about the systems. I've already overcome this system of finances. I've already overcome the system of education, the system of health. He's already overcome every system. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that next Sunday. But listen, God has already conquered these systems. Woo, Jesus. So we need to take what he's already done and design our lives from the victory that he's already won for us. Oh, because I can design my life. Man, I tell you. Look at 1 Thessalonians 3. I'm going to give you some ammunition today, verses 2 through 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Because it's time for us to rewrite our own life. You can start fresh. That's the good thing about God. Because he done hold stuff against you. You ought to be happy for that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2. And sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man, said no man, should be moved by these afflictions. See, you ain't got no business being moved by what you're hearing on TV. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass. And you know. Now I want to read this out of the Voice version. And to send Timothy, our dear brother and servant of God, our partner in the good news of the Anointed One, to strengthen, comfort, and encourage you in your faith, so that you won't be shaken by the sufferings and wither under distress, so that we know lies ahead. See, stuff coming. But you're not supposed to wither and draw up under the pressure. Certainly, you remember that when we were with you, we warned you of the suffering we would have to endure. Now, as you well know, it has happened. See, we're in the suffering. And you ain't got no business bending in this pressure. That's for the world only. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. You might have to go back and look at this if you're not writing it all down. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 through 14. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But, somebody say but, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Oh, Jesus. Go back and bone up on your learning. When you're being tempted, go back and bone up on your learning. And remind, look at the plan God left us. It's called the B-I-B-L-E. He gave us a plan to succeed in every area of life. And if you take his plan to write your life, you can't lose. Look at Luke 8:13. And this is where we see a lot of the body of Christ. I want to read this from the Passion Translation. Luke 8:13. The seed falling on the gravel represents those who initially, respond to the word with joy. Because they heard, I'm going to Florida. That's all I heard, going to Florida. And I was happy. But soon afterwards, when a season of harassment of the enemy and difficult to come to them, they wither and fall away. Why? For they have no root in the truth. And their faith is temporary. It can't uphold under pressure because it's not rooted in what makes you stand. And that's the truth of the word of God. Get ready to come to a close in just a minute. Ephesians 3:20. Yeah, glory to God. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So in other words, that power that's working in us is our imagination. That power, our imagination is working with that power, rather. So, and it says above all that we ask or think. That's our imagination at work. And I told you, your imagination will activate the miraculous power of God to energize your faith. Now, when you say energize, what are you talking about, Pastor Diana? It's to revive it, to make you strong, to hold out to the end. It gives you a supernatural edge. And it will help revive your faith when it's under the gun. This is why you must have a plan. Every time I pick it up, and I keep it close by my bed. Every time I pick it up, I remind God of where we're going back to. Because it's got to be done. And it renews my faith. And new energy come. Whew. Anybody learning but me? Turn to Romans 4:16. Romans 4:16. We're getting ready to close. Romans 4:16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Said to all the seed. Wait a minute. You mean not one of us got left out? Not one of us. You mean this promise go to all of us? That's what it said. Now you gonna call God a lie? It says it's to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham. Are we of the faith of Abraham? Absolutely. Who is the father of us all? As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. So Abraham is the father of our faith. Before whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. So there's an engagement of my mouth speaking what God says, so I can call and retrieve from the spiritual realm what I want on my plan. I can look at my plan and call it into existence. Ooh, geez, I can talk just like God. But see, it's got to be written. And I'm trying to tell you, write it down. I don't care if you say, I'm gonna get a new wig. Write it down. It's a plan. Because maybe you don't have the money today. Mm-hmm. It's a plan. I'm going to buy me this sassy weed. See, y'all laughing. But God is involved in everything. Yeah. That's why y'all still buying y'all stuff. Mm-mm. God pays for mine. Because it's in my plan. Yeah. I put everything in there, from my nails to my hair. Whichever one that is, it's still my hair. Amen. And since he paid for it, I'm wearing it. Amen. Do you see? Amen. We dial out God in things that we are familiar with. And we take them on when God says, no, your life is mine. Your life is mine. Let me do it. Put it on the paper. Tell me what you want. What you want, Shug? Like I do my grandbaby. What you want, Shug? And he opened them, blinked them big eyes at us. I think he got me and Regina wrapped. But anyway, Pop don't stand a chance. But he'll blink them big eyes at me. And if it's not something that's going to hurt him, he know grandma going to give it to him. Why? It's already in my plan to do it. I buy stuff because I know he's coming. I don't wait till he get there. I buy stuff and have it so when he get there. Why? I'm planning for him. When he come to my house, he know to go to the refrigerator and ask for the yogurt. He know where the yogurt stays in the refrigerator. Even if he can't open the door, he get his mama to open the door. But he know he gonna get his own yogurt. He got applesauce in there. Why? I plan for that. Oh, Jesus. Anybody learning but me? See, you got to call the things that be not as though they were. But if you don't have a plan for it, you're just wishing. As it, see, look what verse 17 said. As it is what? Say it out loud. Y'all scared. Say it. As it is what?
Written.
Say it again.
Written.
As it is written. So it was written. It was a plan of God to make Abraham the father of many nations. But he wrote it. Ooh, Jesus. And we are calling him the father of faith even today. I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead and called those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope. In other words, that kind of hope, he says against hope, not just that wishing, but I pushed against that and believed in what I could see in the supernatural. There's a realm Dr. Davis taught years ago about the realm of hope. And that's where we go and retrieve stuff. See, that's my hope over there. And my faith is going to retrieve it. That's my hope chest. If you see it as a hope chest, and whatever you desire is in that hope chest, and you got to reach for it with your faith. Call it. Call it. Call it into existence. And don't be ashamed. And that's why you can't tell your vision to everybody. Because they'll laugh at you and scorn you. They'll make you think you're stupid. Then when once it manifests, they're going to be like, what happened? Where did she come from? How did she get that? That's what you want, because now God can get all the glory. Watch this. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. So that means he had to withstand some things that it didn't look like it one day. He get up, he said, it may not look like it, but I'm hoping because I got my eyes on the realm where God told me to look at. And every time he went out and looked at the stars and the sand on the sea, that's the written plan that God had given him. Because it wasn't on paper, but God wrote it where he could visibly see it. He said, count the sand. Can you count the sand? No, God. Okay. Can you count the stars? No, God. That's how many sons you're going to have, Abraham. Amen. That's your plan. Go ahead and make it your plan, Abraham. So as Abraham got up and said, me, Abraham, father of many nations. Huh? He says, against hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken. First it was spoken, then it was written, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet. Now see, y'all think y'all got issues. You try to be 100 years old, and the Lord tell you, you gonna have a baby. Ha, ha, ha. But he must believe God because he had a baby. And he had it with his wife. Okay. Got so good to him, he had some more kids after Sarah died. You know, God healed Abraham. So y'all can't say that was just for Sarah and Hagar. No. You read the Bible. He married again. He married Keturah, and I think they had 4 or 5 kids. He was being productive. He took God at his word. It says he was not weak in faith. So he didn't consider his own stuff. He didn't consider what he had in his hand right now. He stopped looking at his paycheck. He stopped looking at whether or not this going to happen or that going to happen. Or maybe I might have an emergency. No, he says he didn't consider that. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Not only did he have to not consider him, but he can't consider his wife who got issues. Because she old too. But when God healed them, he healed them both. He staggered not. Now he got to the place where he stopped staggering. He staggered not at the promise of God through what? I told you, see, unbelief is not the same as ignorance. Yeah. but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised him, God was able to get him all the way to Florida. Woo, Jesus. I had to say that. And therefore, it was imputed to him for what? Righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. That would have been good if it was just for Abraham. But for who? Wait. For who? For us also, to whom it shall be imputed. If, there's that little word that got a big meaning. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Not just believe in getting born again, but believe that what he said he would do, that's what you believe he'll do. Amen. And that's all you believe. Amen. Who was delivered for our offenses and were raised again for our justification. Man, you ought to be ready to go home and make a plan. Did you learn anything this morning? Hallelujah.